This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. Now, US stocks rose on Friday on thin volume before their holiday weekend, but the gains weren't enough to compensate for a week of market turmoil stoked by trade tensions. While the S&P 500 managed to stay in the green to close at 2,826 points, it saw its third straight weekly decline as concerns mounted that the trade dispute between the US and China could cripple global growth.
And Dow Jones also closed a touch just below 0.5%. This is the fifth consecutive weekly drop. Nasdaq also managed to stay in the green, closing up 0.1%. And it's down 7% from a year-to-date viewpoint.
Meanwhile, oil climbed as supply risks outweighed concerns that the trade war will stifle demand. And if we look at UK, the pound advanced after UK's Prime Minister Theresa May announced that she will step down as party leader on June 7th. Now, it's 3 years since UK voted to leave the European Union, and Brexit has now defeated two British prime ministers. With Theresa May on her way out, it looks like the political turmoil is about to get more intense.
And what kind of divorce the UK really wants still isn't clear. Defining it will be up to the next prime minister, and the risk of a messy no-deal split remains real as companies continue to spend millions preparing for the worst. Now, to get some insight into how markets have reacted to the news, we have on the line Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Sydney. Good morning, Kingsley. Now, Theresa May's resignation doesn't bode well for the future of Brexit. How are the markets reacting to this uncertainty?
Well, everything remains uncertain, of course, but there may, in fact, be a little bit of a relief rally now that Theresa May has resigned. I don't think that would be a verdict, really, on her role as PM. It's more that a change may be as good as a holiday in terms of moving this thing forward. Change the leader, and maybe with talks that have been stalled this long, there will be some progress. That said, I mean, the foreign exchange market is still probably the major indicator of whether or not people think Brexit will happen. And for now, FX in the British pound has been falling versus the US dollar over the last couple of weeks. It might give a little bit of bounce now, but we'll just have to wait and see.
And of course, we know that 5G is in the news, and Donald Trump administration is attempting to thwart Huawei's advance, not only in America, but in the world. How are you rejigging your tech strategy right now, particularly looking for opportunities after prices have fallen off?
Well, as a result of that move, we remain rather cautious because I think that this banning or placing Huawei on the entity list, so-called, which means that the U.S. administration considers that U.S. businesses in general can't supply components to Huawei. I think that that casts a very long shadow because, of course, Huawei is the number one network equipment manufacturer worldwide and also the number two smartphone manufacturer worldwide. In terms of their annual spend, I mean, they buy about $70 billion U.S. of components, electronic components worldwide, including about $11 billion U.S. from the major companies in the U.S., Intel and Qualcomm in particular. So, look, it's going to have a bad effect, I think. What we're really doing with our strategy is we have been long certain semiconductors, and I think there'll probably be a little bit of a bounce next week. But we're not positive about the situation, and we'll probably, in fact, sell those companies. I think that this could drag on for some time. And, of course, as has often been discussed in the press recently, you know, there is maybe this risk that we enter a sort of technology Cold War scenario where the world divides into two, you know, a Chinese network and a non-Chinese network.
Lastly, what will you be watching out for this week?
I think the main thing is really just what's going on with the oil price right now. Obviously, people are a little bit nervous with the trade war about demand, and that's why oil has been weak. But the futures curve is showing what is called backwardation, which often indicates supplies are tight. So we'll be watching that closely. I mean, I think the main reason why the market might view supplies as being tight is just that risk in the Middle East that the Iran situation flares up. So we'll keep a close eye on that.
Thank you so much. That was Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global in Sydney. Now, in other news as well on the international front, according to Bloomberg, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles could announce an operational tie-up with Renault as soon as later today. Now, this could lead to a full merger of the French and Italian-American companies, creating the world's third biggest automaker.
And sources told Bloomberg that the deal could involve an initial exchange of equity, exchange of shares. And Renault's existing alliance partners, Nissan and Mitsubishi Motors, aren't involved, although the sources say that they would be invited at a later stage. And Renault has also conditioned the deal upon Chrysler, the other way around, that they don't talk to Nissan about this. And so that's very interesting.
Although that's not necessarily going to be the case, I think there is possibility that they will be invited for talks later. At this current moment, talks with Fiat have moved on ahead without Nissan, who have been Renault's partner for 20 years. And this illustrates the intense pressure facing automakers to combine efforts and investments. Talks between Fiat and Renault have accelerated in recent days as negotiators found a way to structure a deal, with Renault's board scheduled to meet later today.
Yeah, I think we are seeing this kind of situation happening in several industries around the world, right? So, you know, it's been happening in media companies like we've seen mergers like AT&T buying Time Warner or Disney buying Fox's media assets. And we've even seen it here at home in the telco industry with Telenor and Axiata. So in terms of the auto market, with sales falling in the world's biggest car markets, manufacturers are being pushed by regulators to electrify as well as reduce fleet emissions. So they've also been forced to spend heavily on self-driving technologies or risk getting left behind by new deep-pocketed competitors like Alphabet's Waymo. So a Fiat-Renault agreement would hold the potential for extensive cost savings in Europe, but both through sharing investments and reducing costs in the struggling market. Since almost one-third of Fiat's global workforce was located in Europe at the end of last year, even though the company makes almost all of its profit in North America.
I think access is also the other thing, because Fiat has a very strong foothold in America, and the merger would give Renault a chance to get into that very lucrative market. And together, the merged companies would produce about 8.7 million cars. That's quite a lot of cars. And this would nudge them above the South Korea's Hyundai and also General Motors. But the two biggest car makers in the world, Volkswagen and Toyota, topping about 10 million cars a year. And as you said earlier, it's all about economies of scale. When you have a merger, it's not only cost-cutting, but also the size of your production to allow the production cost of each unit of car to be lower when you have that many cars being produced.
This has been driven also by the falling sales globally. I mean, the largest market for cars in China has actually seen decelerating sales. So this has brought fresh urgency to the cause of consolidation. Now, this the merger has been championed by their former Fiat chief, Sergio Marchionne, and deposed Renault-Nissan Alliance chairman, Carlos Ghosn. So Fiat in the past actually had sought partnership talks with even PSA, which is the owner of Peugeot.
And of course, Carlos Ghosn he's currently facing charges in Japan for misreporting of his salaries, as well as I believe
tax allegations.
Yes, and so that whole debacle has somewhat shaken the alliance between Renault and Nissan, because Ghosn was the one who championed it, who pushed for it. So he was arrested in November over alleged financial misdeeds, and his departure surfaced quite a few tensions between the partners. So Nissan executives resisted new proposals by Renault to cement ties through the creation of a holding company structure. Now, Renault owns about 43% of Nissan, and Nissan owns 15% of Renault with no voting rights.
What do you guys think about how this kind of news would affect local car players? Because we have production volumes of nowhere near the kind of tens of millions of cars that are being produced by these giants, right? We produce barely a million cars combined. What is the survivability of our local companies?
Which is why we see Proton now with Geely. I think that explains it all, right? It would have been very difficult for Proton to be a standalone auto company. And DRB suffered tremendous losses in the last 5 years before Geely came in. And X70 is really all about driving the new Proton brand and survival in this Malaysian market. And Perodua has always succeeded. And that's partially because Perodua is a joint venture with Daihatsu. So I think it does prove a point that, you know, you do need scale. And with scale comes cost savings. Because at the end of the day, you're talking about the cost of each unit of car. And you need to have substantial sales to cover that unit per car.
Yeah, so these Chinese and even Indian producers are a force to be reckoned with because they can produce at extremely low cost. You know, the Chinese used to be the factory of the world and caused much of the disinflation of the world when they were at the peak, in manufacturing peak. Now, India, I think, is coming up. Tata is a major cheap car producer as well. They produce like the cheapest car in the world. And so they are in a position to actually attack the market from the other direction, right, which is the low-cost car market.
Now, the U.S. would, I imagine, also be something of a spanner that could be thrown into the works of the global automotive industry, right? Because they were mulling at one point increasing tariffs, I believe, against
German cars.
German cars as
and
well
also
as
the Japanese.
Yes, so that could be another factor that would set the global car market rocking. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.